Coffee with Fleur podcast would like to acknowledge the traditional owners on the lands on which we've recorded each episode, which is the Boonwurrung people, and we pay our respects to their elders, both past, present and emerging.
Welcome back to Coffee with Fleur. Fleur, we're back in the cafe. It's been a while.
Isn't it good coffee weather now? Like coffee is good any time, but I find when the weather gets a bit cooler, I just appreciate my coffee even more. Something warm to drink.
And something to cup your hands around.
Yeah, definitely.
So lovely.
Yeah,
find beautiful. A nice sunny spot and just curl up.
I know, it's a bit of a Garfield, if anyone knows that cartoon, probably showing my age a bit, but Garfield is a cartoon cat that loves lying in the sun, so I think that's
absolutely
what we're alluding to.
Absolutely, it's good to sort of retreat from the world at some point, particularly in the... I guess since we've last spoke, there's a lot happened in the world, yes. And we can all have our differing opinions about whether that's good or bad, but there seems to be a load that we're carrying every day, and a load that has the potential to affect our well-being.
Sure.
And much of that's, I think, coming out of the United States, and obviously that country has ripple effects around the world.
For sure. It's interesting, isn't it? Because part of what I've wondered too is if that is exacerbated by the fact that we are so connected in a way, in one way through technology.
Yeah.
Because I think if I rewound back 20 years or so, we would have been aware of what's happening in the States, but maybe not to the level that we are now. So, yeah, certainly there's a lot happening over there. And like you said, you know, people will have different perspectives on the level of concern or otherwise.
Yeah, that's a whole different podcast.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to address that. But,
no, but, the,
but it certainly is something that can have an influence on people's well-being, for sure.
And all around the world as well, not just in that one country.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So what have you learned then as you've opened the internet and...
as I do frequently.
And turned on the news. What's your observations been about this world we now live in?
Well, interestingly, and now I can't recall exactly how I came upon this particular sort of document, but the US Surgeon General, or who has now sort of this was back in sort of January, so he was moving on. He'd been the Surgeon General for 10 years in the States, and I think in Australia, I'm not sure our equivalent, we've got some, you know, it's obviously the Chief kind of Health Officer or something similar. So he'd worked under, a couple of different administrations, but he just wrote this kind of, whether you call it a manifesto or something, but his kind of parting words for the Americans, which I think can apply to all of us, regardless of the country that we kind of reside or are citizens of.
Okay, that sounds really interesting. Like almost a Surgeon General be like a prescription almost. And we should say it's Dr. Vivek Halagir Murthy, which I'm sure I've pronounced incorrectly.
Yes.
But what did the doctor say?
Yeah, and actually it does say it's his personal and professional reflection on what he sees as a root cause of widespread suffering in America. But I would say that it would have a similar sort of context for us here. And it's mostly, he draws it down to the root cause being mostly the loss of community.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
Because community and connection is central to our well-being.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's becoming more and more apparent. It's probably become apparent through COVID and stuff like that around this thing around community and how it's really important for us as for our well-being and just as humans just for thriving is this sense of community. So
And you know, we're here in a coffee shop today, we're connecting and we're discussing these things, but the very fact that we are here together just shows that we need interactions with other people.
yeah Yeah, definitely. And I think it's a very long document. I'd encourage people to perhaps have a look at it. We'll put it in our show
notes. We'll link it.
So I think it's about 30 pages. So we all know that there's information overload. So let me, if that's okay, David, I'd love to sort of break down the key points that come out of this big document. So the first one is that community is essential for fulfillment and health, and I think that's what we've just been saying. And he defines community through three pillars. So he's saying relationships, service, and purpose are all rooted in the core virtue of love. So he suggests that a strong community supports our mental and physical health, resilience, and life satisfaction. So hence sort of what we were just saying.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he feels like one of the reasons this is difficult for us to achieve is because we're quite fractured now with technology and social media and the decline of some of the institutions that kind of support community and that focus on individualism. So I think we're maybe in Australia, we're not quite in that space, but I can see sort of how technology kind of takes, it builds a community in one sense. I think that's often people's arguments for social media because you can connect with people you otherwise wouldn't. But then I also feel like it takes away. We're using that time where we could be sort of spending time in our more local areas of community. So
yeah, it's an interesting thing to consider, isn't it? What gives us belonging is being in a place with people we love or know. And so, yes, you can have your online communities, but is that really giving you the same sense of belonging?
That's right.
Maybe, maybe not. And certainly when I think back to when I was growing up, there seems to be a bit of a distinct difference now in how we live and how we used to live then. Maybe it was just because I was a child and all the kids played together. But I was reminded of that when I read about a quick mental activity we can all do right now. And that's that whoever was writing it was encouraging us to count how many of our neighbours that we actually know in the vicinity of our house. And then I think, well, how many do we know by name?
Yes.
Which is very few.
Yes.
And then how many that you could describe what their interest or hobby is, which I'd venture would be hardly any. And so I then contrast that with growing up. And as I say, you kind of knew everybody, certainly in your street. And I wonder whether the technology, this, the way we live our lives has brought in a few barriers. We've lost that sense of community. And with all the influences then coming from outside our strictly personal lives, but coming the world is bringing us, then it starts to fracture.
And I think you're right. I think you certainly can find community in the, you know, social media connections with groups and so forth, but it's definitely not as high quality as the connections and the community from a physical perspective. Like you say, you know, the neighbours, and I know that we have, where I live, we've got some fabulous neighbours, and I'm always so appreciative of having them as neighbours to look out for each other and just even chatting over the fence. You know, we do that. And of course, you don't get to choose your neighbours, which is really interesting. So maybe it doesn't work for everybody all the time, but I think, yeah, having that sense of community. I know friends who during COVID, for example, really were able to connect even more strongly with the people that lived in their street because they were kind of bound to that area. So I think it's really kind of highlighted, again, that how important connection and community are.
Yeah, and there's a line in the Surgeon General's prescription. Dr. Vivek says, community is a powerful source of life satisfaction and life expectancy. Mm. It's where we know each other, help each other, and find purpose in contributing to each other's lives. A bit like what you were describing there.
Yeah.
And that can only ultimately strengthen our collective well-being, I guess, and give us that reassurance in an ambiguous world where everything seems to be a little bit unbalanced and we're not quite sure how it's all going to pan out.
Mm, that's right, yeah.
The other way of looking at this is the work that we do and the culture we create in our organisations, because we do a lot of work with organisations as well. And there's a, you know, really interesting way of looking at this about profits at all costs and what actually gives us value.
Mm.
I think Jen Fisher, who we've referenced a couple of times on the podcast, talks about this in terms of prosperity.
Yes.
What does prosperity mean? Is it really just the dollars and the profit margin, or is it the sense of community that we have in our organizations and our well-being and belonging?
Yes.
And our satisfaction with the work that we do.
Yeah.
So in a professional sense, there's a really interesting thing to consider there. What is prosperity? Is it strictly the dollars? If it is, what effect does that have on our people as well? So I think it's all intertwined, as we always say. It's work and personal lives and it's all mixed up.
For sure. I think it's interesting because the word prosperity automatically for me brings in the concept of money.
Mm.
But I think we need to broaden our perspective. If that's the same, you know, that just might be me. But if that's true for others, I think we need to broaden our perspective on what that word means to us in the idea of well-being. So is it just financial, or is it the quality of our relationships? Are we prosperous in those? Are we prosperous in the community and the connections that we have? And all of this, as usual, goes back to PERMA. You know, if you think a lot of the R in PERMA is relationships, and they are a strong contributor to well-being. So I think what I'm thinking out loud and learning out loud as we're talking is that in terms of community, I think the online communities are great, but they should be complementary to our more physical sense of community. So, yes, they're great, but we shouldn't just rely on them solely for connection. I think that would be detrimental to our well-being, and we should really have more connection with each other. And I think that's what's happened, is we've kind of switched it to be, we're trying to find community online when we should be trying to find more of it offline.
Yeah, and you mentioned the word rely on the online communities. I think certainly what I observe is that there's a lot of things online that just aren't reliable. And in fact, Dr. Vivek in his article there says there were people coming saying to him, I just don't have anything to rely on anymore, which is quite a powerful statement when you actually consider what it means. And I think it, a lot of the things we're going to touch on in future episodes see us navigating that world ourselves. Yeah. So I think there's a lot more conversations, a lot more coffees to have.
I completely agree with you, and I would really encourage people to have a look at the document, because we can't talk about all of it, all 32 pages in our coffee conversation, but it really hopefully resonates with people and provides a bit of a prescription of an alternative sort of spaces or areas or thinking, things for us to focus on.
Yeah, I think if I had to sum it up, I'd say that I'm hopeful that community will sustain us through everything that's going on and all these challenges.
Mm.
However, it will only do so if we actively build it.
That's right. I think we have to be very purposeful, and it's easy to just refer to online community, but we have to be very purposeful and intentional about perhaps doing more, seeking the real life, if you like, communities.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. let's be really purposeful and grab another coffee. And then we'll see how that pans out over the next couple of months.
I'm sure there'll be lots of connections of this episode to, well, the other ones we've got coming up.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, Fleur. We shall talk soon, I'm sure.
Yeah, thanks, David. See you next time.